you'll find niche communities in your industry, in your marketplace, where you can really tune into that specific area. You know, every company has a very specific niche. So you'll be able to tune into that. So there's going to be less noise. There's going to be just more smaller conversations with the community.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today I have on Marketing Voices Jeremiah Aoyang, who's Director of Corporate Media Strategy. He is a blogger, has been very well known by a lot of people before he came to PodTech for his blog. So he is really very good at demystifying the web, in my opinion, and many others. So he is not geeky, as I would say, but very fun to be with, but has a lot of ideas. So today we're going to define a lot of different things for all the people that wrote in on his blog and asked about corporate media strategy, and then also some great ideas that we're going to be talking about. And we also will be addressing some of the questions that a lot of people responded to his blog and asked. And so with no more ado, welcome to Marketing Voices, Jeremiah.
Thanks, Jennifer.
So first question, define social media, or tell me about social media, how you look at it.
Great. So that's really my focus here at PodTech, is to help people understand what is social media, what is happening, and how do corporations use this. And I guess that comes from my background, where I helped to deploy social media at Hitachi Data Systems. So what's really happening is that individuals, people, are able to share ideas and thoughts with these tools that are available on the web for nearly free. The only barrier to entry is really having internet access and some know-how. And the things that's happening is that people are having conversations. They're talking back and forth, and they're sharing information. And the end result of social media, which is just the medium, the tool, is that communities, specific communities of interest and niches, are starting to form, and it's very bottom-up.
Okay, so what do you mean bottom-up? Mean people just start talking to each other and all of a sudden there's a new community?
Great. So a few years ago, you know, we would see more of broadcast media or one-way media, where information was being pushed from a centralized source. And now what we're seeing is peers, people that don't have any experience in broadcasting, or, you know, they're just normal people sharing their thoughts with products and services, are beginning to share across, side to side, to each other. And that's the term that is being used, as bottom up, because it's coming from the masses, from the users, from the community, from the consumers.
Okay, so I'm going to just sort of jump way ahead here a little bit with companies that we've worked with. Give me your sense of what's a good way to put a social media program together, not yet from a budget standpoint, but just from a five steps, six steps kind of standpoint.
Great. And here's what I recommend to all of our clients, and this is the same process that I took at my program as well. So number one is to have awareness and get educated and understand this new medium. What is social media? Get to know what are the tools and how to use them, and how do you learn how to measure and listen to them.
Okay, so wait, stop there. So talk about how you do it. Let's go through the steps sort of one
sure.
by one, but delve into them each time.
Okay.
So listen, how do you do that?
So number one is to understand the medium, understand and learn the tools. And so the second piece, which ties into this very practical approach, is learning to listen to the marketplace. So after you've learned how to use what some of these tools are, blogs, forums, wikis, you know, RSS, podcasts, video, and a bunch of other things that are just starting to emerge, is learning how to listen and watch what people are saying. That's part two. And it's starting to look at what are people saying in your marketplace. Are people talking about your products? Are people talking about your company or your executives? Are they talking about your competitors? So it's really understanding this whole new medium and tuning in to these conversations. The third thing is experimenting with these tools. So actually starting to pick up the hammer, pick up the chisel, and start to play with it. Now, there's a variety of ways to do this in a low-risk environment. You know, corporations are very afraid of making mistakes. So you can deploy these tools internally, or you can start your own blog about a personal interest that doesn't relate to your company. And the fourth step is to really start to deploy these things and engage your audience and your community. And that really is joining the communities that have already formed out there using social media tools. A lot of people are under the assumption that companies build communities or they harness or harvest them. And this is actually a thought process I had to go through. I was incorrect in the way I thought initially. And it's really about joining these communities that have already started to form out there. You can definitely, as a corporation, shape and influence them, but it's different now because the communications that occur from the bottom up or from peer to peer or from consumer to consumer take precedence over your corporate message. So it's learning how to bend into that. And the fifth stage for your program is, again, going back to step two, is learning how to listen again and how do you measure, and measuring what are the changes that have happened out there or what are your impacts that you've made. So that's the high level strategy for a social media strategy.
Okay, good. So let's delve into then, how do you listen? When you mention the tools and you say you got to listen, how do you listen? It may sound like a ridiculous question, but it's like, okay, what are the tools that exist and where do corporations sort of start? They know nothing about it. Do they just start on Google and type in Juniper Networks? I mean, what's the first step?
Okay. So before answering how, it's really important to ask why. So here's why you need to listen as a marketer. One is, before you even craft a message, you need to be listening to what is the marketplace saying. This is traditionally not something that most marketers have done in the past. They would create messages and lob them out to the community, the marketplace. So now there's an opportunity. You can listen to what people are really saying. What are their needs? What are their specific problems? What do they like? What do they dislike? And then you can engage in this dialogue with them and actually be more powerful and effective as a marketer. So to get tactical again, the tools. One of the favorite tools for measuring blogs is Technorati. And now Google blog search is emerging fast. Also, there's Sphere, which is happening. Also, you want to set up Google Alerts, which will alert you when there are certain keyword instances that come up naturally through media or the blogosphere, which is the term for all of the blogs out there. And you want to set those for your products, your competitors' products, your executives, your company, all kinds of things, and then key issues within your industry. Also, a lot of companies are now offering measurement type services, and I'm very involved in that industry and trying to shape what are the requirements. I've done a roundtable with Factiva, and I'm talking to people that have been on this show, Nielsen, Buzzmetrics. So I really, this is an important thing for 2007, is measuring it. Anyways, these companies will be able to provide something that you can't do just by listening, which is basically monitoring and alerting. These companies are going to offer reporting, benchmarking, market intelligence around what are consumers actually saying. And that's very powerful for marketers to really harness onto.
Okay, so I'm going to be jumping around a little bit here. I want to ask a question because we had a lot of responses to your blog when you put it out and said, hey, I'm going to be on this show. And
that was just yesterday, too, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, it just shows the power of the blogosphere.
Right. I mean, that's an example of social media at work. So let's say, we're making a product and we want to get feedback from the community. What features should this product have? And this product happens to be the show. So I posted that. What questions do you want to ask me? That was the blog post. And I also alerted some friends within in a small circle via email. And we had a flood of responses. There's over a dozen responses just 12 hours later. And that's an example of how we're making this product and we're reaching out to people so we can try to make it best for the community, right, and involve the community.
Right. No, and I know that we really will be doing much more of this. I mean, we've got to have, we're thinking about doing live shows and that sort of thing. But bottom line is, let's go to the question. Okay, so Karen O'Brien asked that she wants to know, how important is establishing credibility in social media? And specifically, what factors help a company establish this credibility?
So credibility, another term to use that I find to be more appropriate is trust. This is really about trust. So going back to that model, we are looking at peer-to-peer interaction. Consumers are talking to prospects and other customers. Trust research has indicated that people trust people, quote, like me, end quote. So we're finding that prospects and customers trust each other more than marketers. That's a disruption, and now they're able to communicate. That's a disruption. So this is really all about trust. How do companies and marketers help to be part of that conversation of trust? And that ties back to credibility. So there's a couple of things that are important when you start to deploy social media. One is to be authentic, and that means to be real. Taking off a lot of the gloss and the and a lot of the happy talk. That's really not how normal people are talking. Two is you admit when you're wrong and you admit it fast. Three, you acknowledge the people that are talking and when they're providing feedback. It's really showing that they're in charge and you're there listening to them and you want to involve them in creating new products. So when you start applying these types of things, you're going to build credibility with your audience by being open and forthcoming. And there's a ton of examples of companies out there that have not done this and they've suffered because of this.
So you would say it's really important. I mean, because I get asked that all the time. They say, oh, you know, you don't really have to do this. You can get away with not doing it. And these are big companies, especially in the technology industry. And I, having come here to PodTech now a year, I am a firm believer you have to do it. But, you know, I do always question that. I always say, well, maybe I've, you know, drunk the Kool-Aid too much.
It's okay. So it boils down to this. If the question, I'll leave it open. If people are making decisions about products and services in these conversations that are happening out there and you're not involved, then I guess you don't matter. You know, if you don't want to participate where those decisions are being made, then correct, you don't matter.
Okay, so now explain that more. What do you mean you don't matter? Well, of course you matter. I mean, you're
devil. I was being a devil's advocate there. So this is really, it comes back to Karen's question. It is about credibility. It is about trust. It is about joining that community that we were talking about earlier. And that's something that, you know, we did at Hitachi Data Systems is we joined our community and we were able to build trust. One of the things that we did, and I helped to lead this, is to build a wiki for the data storage industry, specifically for the people that deploy data storage. You know, that's a very small, niched community, not exciting to everybody. So what that wiki was a first-stop source to find information about products and how to deploy them. And there was even eventually linking to, like, price sheets and things like that. And we would link to other vendors. That's, you know, something that has never really been done. But we did it in a way so that we could be a resource to customers so we could build trust and credibility and be part of that interactive conversation. And in turn, they embraced us back. They contributed a little bit, and they thanked me via their blog, and I built relationships with them. So that's an example of letting go to get closer to them and build trust to gain more.
Very impressive. Okay, so another question here. When do you think blogs, this is from Brian Keith, when do you think blogs will become as ubiquitous as Google?
It's happening slowly. I mean, the adoption rate for blogs, for people to be writing blogs, I believe it's probably around the 20% range. I don't remember what the last blogosphere report from Technorati was. But it's not everybody in the world is going to blog, and it's not suited for everybody. But I don't want to put so much focus on these tools, but I really see that in the next 4 years that blogs are going to become ubiquitous as email. It's another form of communication. Blogs will be issued at corporations for their intranet. Everybody will have access to create their own blog internally. Many companies will start to offer it externally as a way to communicate. People have personal ones. You know, you go back to the mid-90s and you say, when is web going to be as ubiquitous as newspapers? So this is just another tool set to add in our communications.
Okay, so Tom Mandel asks, beyond blogs, how will audio and video hit the enterprise knowledge worker? So going beyond just the written part, the podcast, the video parts, I mean, how do you think it'll hit everyone else?
Right. This is happening. So what I'm seeing happening is that the internet is a platform for communications. So you start with text, and now we're seeing, you know, more growth with audio. And we're also seeing video being pushed. And I'm also seeing that in addition to it just being in the browser, that these media types are moving to mobile devices and also towards internet protocol TV, IPTV. So we're going to start to see web content being pushed through syndicated methods on our TVs. We're going to see video blog programs on TVs as well as mobile devices and in cars and everywhere. It's going to spread. The web is a platform for all media, all content.
Okay, so final question, and then we'll have to end the podcast. What's your number one prediction for social media in 2007?
It's going to go vertical and horizontal within the enterprise.
So what does that mean?
That means that it's going to be adopted pretty widely throughout most Fortune 1000 companies. It's going to be in the intranet. It's going to be in the extranet. It's going to be on your public site. Your engineers, it's going to be in product management. Engineers are going to be reading blogs, maybe communicating with customers using those.
All in a year?
Well, it's already happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, actually, social media is not new. I'm not going to pretend like this has not existed before. I mean, forums and bulletin boards have been around since practically the beginning of the internet, you know, in the mid-90s. So people are already using forums for support, but it's figuring out how to use these for other tools as well. It helps with HR and recruiting and also just your marketing. And I know salespeople, my friend Daniela, who does sales at Factiva, she uses her blog to market, to sell. She's using it in the sales process to reach out and communicate directly with me, making videos and product demos. So it's going to go wide, and it's going to go up and down the organization.
Okay, so I said that was the final question, but I have one question. So how? What about time? Somebody in one of the questions asked, you know, Steve Rubell of Edelman gets up at 4 a.m. and reads all these blogs. I mean, you and I get up early anyway, but I don't have time to read all the blogs and all the things. So what about aggregation? How do you like deal with all of this? Do you like get the information?
Two things. One is that you'll find niche communities in your industry, in your marketplace, where you can really tune into that specific area. You know, every company has a very specific niche. So you'll be able to tune into that. So there's going to be less noise. There's going to be just more smaller conversations with the community. Two, there are aggregation type of tools out there, looking at meme trackers. For example, Tech Meme is an example of the conversations being bubbled up, and you can see this linking behavior and mechanisms. What are the top conversations being talked about now? You don't have to read all the individual blogs or subscribe to them in your feed reader, because they're being bubbled up, and we're going to see that happen. And user voted stories like Dig, Tail Ranks, another meme tracker. So, in other words, there are tools coming around that are bubbling up the most important things for each of these niches.
Okay, I've been talking with my colleague Jeremiah, and before I go, I want to make sure you've got a chance to tell everyone what your blog is, what your URL is, so I'll go to it.
Great. You can find me at web-strategist.com, and I publish there pretty much every day about how do companies use web tools to connect with customers.
Great. So this has been Jennifer Jones with Marketing Voices, and until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.